Our scripture reading today is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 9 through 14. Mark 16, 9 through 14. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. That's the road to Emmaus. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Aren't you impressed with the honesty of the gospel writers? Here we have women, and it wasn't just Mary Magdalene, like Mark says. There were other women too that were with her. But we have women who told what they had seen on Easter morning. They saw an empty tomb, and then they saw the risen Christ. But when they told it to the disciples, the men, they didn't believe it. I mean, this is the greatest event in history, but Jesus' closest buddies, they didn't believe it. They were with him for 3 years, and several times Jesus had tried to explain to them, this is what's going to happen. And when it happened, they didn't believe it. All four Gospels, not just Mark, but Luke, Matthew, John, all record the same thing. Luke says it this way: it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told this to the apostles, but the apostles didn't believe it because their words seemed like nonsense. The disciples thought they were making it all up. Matthew says it this way, excuse me. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which they had been directed to go, and when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Some doubted it was really him. John says it this way: the 11 disciples, or I should say 10 disciples, minus Thomas, they'd all seen Jesus on Easter. But Thomas hadn't. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus appeared to them. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." And he didn't. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was an amazing, incredible miracle. Unbelievable. Which, if you think about it by definition, it's hard to believe the unbelievable. For thousands of years, people thought that the earth was flat. Thought if you went too far, you'd fall off the edge, and no one imagined that the earth was round. It was unbelievable to think that the earth was round. For thousands of generations, no one ever dreamed that a person could fly through the air in a machine. That's just unbelievable. And even just 100 years ago, it was unbelievable to think that a human being could walk on the moon. Unbelievable. But that's what Christians do. Our hope, our lives are founded upon believing the unbelievable. Great passage in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is being sure of the things that we hope for. It means knowing that something is real even if we don't see it, even if it's hard to imagine." Now, faith and believing, they're connected, but they're different. Faith is living out what we believe. And yet, when what we believe is unbelievable, that makes faith hard. Believing God loves us, that's an easy thing. God so loved the world, loved you, loved me, loved everyone in the world, that he gave his only son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But what about the other stuff? I mean, believing Jesus is the perfect Son of God who gave himself to be crucified on the cross so that by his sacrificial death, our sins would be forgiven? That's a little unbelievable. What about the fact that Jesus came back to life by the power of God so that death is defeated and heaven is open to those who trust Jesus as Savior and Lord? Well, that's pretty unbelievable. And what about the fact that Jesus is still alive now and will be forever, and he lives in our hearts through his Spirit? That's a little unbelievable. Pretty easy to believe God loves me. But what about everything that goes with that? I mean, some things make no sense. How could Jesus be God? Why did he have to die for our sins? Can't God just love everybody without including this thing called the cross? Do we really have to believe in the virgin birth? Do we really have to believe in a resurrection? I mean, some things are hard to grasp. This whole summer, we've been looking at things that make our faith hard, and we've seen that accepting the truth is relatively easy compared to then applying that truth in our life. Accepting the truth is what believing is all about. Applying that truth to our life is what faith is all about. But what do we do when even accepting the truth is hard? There are some questions that don't have any easy answers. And there are some questions that we don't have any answers to. So how do we deal with that? What do we do? What do we do if the truth makes no sense? What do we do if someone comes to us and says, "Christ is risen," and we think that's just nonsense? What does it take for us to believe the unbelievable? Now, we might come at that question from the angle that God is a God of miracles. Who he is and how he works in our world is just miraculous. So he works in mysterious ways and he accomplishes his purposes miraculously. And for that, there is no explanation. Either you accept it or you don't. Because miracles, by definition, are not scientific. Miracles, by definition, are absurd or illogical or foolish or crazy, ridiculous, silly. They're unexplainable. And all you can do is believe them or not. Maybe a better question to help us deal with the idea that faith is hard when it comes to some of the questions that we have in life is, how do we live with unanswered questions? How do we live with the truth when it doesn't make sense to us? And what we've been learning this summer is that the Bible reveals a pattern to us that helps us when we have these matters of faith that are hard. There's this pattern of affirmation and hesitation and invitation and action. and you overlay the issues with that template of those four things, and we get a better idea, a better handle on how do we live as followers of Jesus Christ in the face of some of the things that make faith hard. And it's, we've applied it to things like hanging in there, persevering in the faith. We've applied it to things like changing and repenting. We've applied it to surrendering and obedience. We've applied it to sacrificing and suffering and being holy. And that pattern of affirmation, hesitation, invitation, action helps us deal with those hard dimensions, those hard aspects of our faith. Same is true when it comes to questions that we have that just don't seem to be believable, that don't seem to have answers. What about that? Well, let's apply that pattern. Let's start with affirmation. And the affirmation this morning is that the truth is out there for us to hear. We just affirmed that this morning. The truth is out there for us to hear. There is such a thing as truth. In fact, there is such a thing as absolute truth or empirical truth or universal truth. I mean, we learned that in math class. Theorems, postulates, proofs. 2 + 2 = 4. Why? Because it's the truth, period. Jesus plus faith equals salvation. Why? Because it's the truth, period. Faith, hope, love are not equations that can be proved using algebra or even quantum physics. God is love, and we affirm that as an absolute truth. Now, there's other truths out there about God. God is love, yes. God is real. God is holy. God is merciful. God is good all the time. Period. It's true. Luke chapter 24, Mary and the other women told all these things to the apostles. The truth was out. The fact that Jesus was alive, that he'd overcome death in some miraculous fashion. A horrible death he suffered on the cross. And yet now he's alive. That truth was out there. And it was out there for people to hear. The disciples were hearing that truth. That's what we affirm. Christ is risen, they heard. And that's where our faith starts, right there. It starts with truth. Our eternal journey begins with truth. That's why the first words in the Bible are Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, very first words, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created, but you can just go with those first four words, in the beginning, God. That's an absolute truth. Why? Exactly. Because. Because it is. That's the definition of absolute truth. It just is. You know, Christianity has very little traction in our world today. It seems to be slipping more than normal. And this isn't catching anybody by surprise. The great Apostle Paul knew that almost 2,000 years ago. He wrote it to a young man that he had discipled, turned into a strong Christian leader. The young man's name was Timothy. And in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, Paul wrote this. He said, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. There is truth out there for everyone to hear. That's what we affirm. The hesitation comes in, not everyone wants to hear it. We are rational, curious, skeptical. God kind of wired us that way to have brains that think through things. And we want answers that fit our thinking. And if you can't prove it through equations on a chalkboard or experiments in the chemistry lab, well, okay, but at least I want to fit my experience. I want to fit what I hear to my way of thinking. And if it doesn't fit, then I'm not going to accept it. Back to Luke chapter 24, the apostles did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Christ is risen. Didn't fit their thinking. It was way outside their box. It was incomprehensible. We've been using words to describe some of the hard things about our faith, things like uncomfortable, things like inconvenient. This word that applies for today is it's incomprehensible. I don't get it. And truth can be like that. Just because I don't get it doesn't mean it's not true. I'll never forget a vacation Bible school many years ago, and I was doing a little lesson for the children in vacation Bible school. I had a big tub of water, and on the table by the water, I had a watermelon and a grape. And I asked for a couple of volunteers to come up and put those things in the tub of water. But before they did, I asked them, now one of these is going to sink right to the bottom, and one of these is going to float on top. Which do you think is going to sink to the bottom? Which do you think is going to float on top? Everybody raise their hand. And so the volunteers came up. You know, a little boy picked up the grape, and a little girl wrestled with the big watermelon, and they walked over to the tub. I said, on the count of three, I want you to put them in the water. One, two, three. They put them in the water. Guess what happened? The grape sank right to the bottom. The watermelon floated on top. And it was so cool to see their minds go, boom! Light bulbs going off all over the place, right over their heads. Their minds went boom because that didn't fit their way of thinking. Wait, you mean a heavy watermelon is going to float in the water, and this little itty-bitty light grape is going to sink to the bottom? Yeah. We all have tendencies to see what we want to see or believe what we've been conditioned to believe. And Jesus understood that. And that's why he said, you will know the truth, and the truth will change your life. The truth will set you free. The truth will transform who you are and how you live. And if it wasn't an issue, if we didn't hesitate to accept the truth, he wouldn't have had to say that. But he knew the nature of our way of thinking, and he knew how we needed our minds to be blown sometimes in order for us to grasp the truth. The affirmation is the truth is out there for us to hear. The hesitation is that sometimes we just want answers that fit our way of thinking. So the invitation is, well, check it out. Just don't believe what everything you hear, especially if you're wrestling with it, especially if somebody else seems to think that this is really absolutely true, and you don't, maybe you should check it out. That's what Peter did. Back to the resurrection story on Easter morning, Peter got up. He had heard what the women had said. And what did he do? He ran to the tomb to check it out for himself. He got up, he ran to the tomb, He saw the empty tomb and he went away wondering to himself, what does this mean? What happened? Is it really true? Could it be true? Christ is alive? I mean, he saw the empty tomb for himself and he still had questions. And that happens. Sometimes we discover the truth about something and that leads us to a whole new set of unanswered questions. But Peter didn't sit around the table with the other disciples debating the merits of the women's story. He checked it out for himself. He was willing to investigate the truth. The Bible in several places says, come and see what the Lord has done. Come and hear what the Lord has done for me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Check it out. I remember when our daughter was young. Did you ever try to get a youngster to eat something new that they never tried before? Yeah. This is kind of, you know, the flip side of that. Our daughter was still in a high chair, still growing up, but starting to explore other foods. We sat down with her one time, and Becky and I had pizza. And, you know, she wanted, you know, to eat what we were eating, and we weren't ready for her to eat all the stuff that we were eating, so we thought we'd discourage her a little bit. We had pizza with black olives on it. And so we thought, okay, we'll just give her a black olives. I mean, who eats black food? It looks like it's rotten or something. So we thought we'd give her a black olive. She'll never want pizza again in her life. We gave her a black olive. It's her favorite food. She loves black olives, always has. You know, she wanted more black olives off our pizza. So that's kind of the opposite of what usually happens. But you know what I'm talking about. You don't try something new. How do you know what it tastes like? And that's the invitation when it comes to the truth. Check it out for yourself. And that's where action comes in. So the affirmation is that the truth is out there for us to hear. The hesitation is that stuff that we want to hear, stuff that we want to accept, stuff that we want to believe, we try to fit it into our own way of thinking, but it doesn't always work that way. So be willing to check it out, and that's where action comes in. Okay, I'm going to live into this truth. I'm going to apply this truth into my life in such a way that it makes a difference. We cannot be afraid to embrace the unbelievable. Whatever the question is, whatever's unbelievable, we need to be open to the possibilities, especially when it comes to God and how God works. Thomas wasn't there on Easter morning. He had lots of questions. But when he was shown the truth and given the invitation to participate in accepting that Jesus was real, he was all in. The climax of the gospel of John in chapter 20 is when Thomas personally encounters the resurrected Lord. He falls on his knees. My God, my Lord. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. He is our yes. The answer to every important, basic, eternal question that we have is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. The good news about taking action and accepting even what's unbelievable, accepting what is absolute truth, the good news is that it can make a difference, a huge difference in our lives. I mean, some things that are unbelievable that we still believe don't make much of a difference. You think about it. When was the last time you said, I'm so thankful the earth is round? I mean, I'm so glad the earth is round because I'm planning to take a really long trip, and I want to make sure that I won't have to worry about falling off the edge of the world. I am just so glad that the earth is round. When was the last time you woke up in the morning and said, I'm so thankful for gravity? You know, I woke up this morning and my feet landed on the floor. I didn't have to worry that I was going to float up to the ceiling and not be able to take a shower and get dressed. Some things, I mean, if you think about it, the incredibleness of this earth, the gravity that we just, the some things that we take for granted, we believe them. But does it make a difference in your thinking and how you live? Believing in Jesus Christ, believing in all his miraculousness, makes a huge difference in our lives. Believing in Christ transforms us. And when more and more of us believe in Jesus, it transforms the world. John chapter 11, verse 25, whoever believes in me, Jesus said, will live, even though they die. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Holy smokes! That's transformative, isn't it? That's what can make a huge difference in people's lives. What, if I believe in Jesus, I'm going to live forever? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes a difference. That's worth thinking about the first thing in the morning when you get up. Interesting, we usually stop there in that verse. It goes on a little bit further. He's talking to Mary and Martha, who had just lost Lazarus, their brother. Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The very next thing he says, do you believe this? That's what he says. Do you believe this? Because he knows if they believe it, it'll boom! Blow their mind, it'll transform their lives. Back to Easter morning, Jesus himself came and stood among the disciples, and he said to them, peace be with you. Why are you troubled? Why do you still have questions? And then he helped them understand what was written in the scriptures. Sometimes it's hard to see anything good beyond our present circumstances, sometimes. And sometimes it's hard to believe anything good beyond our past experiences, sometimes. And when those sometimes happens, that's when we have questions. That's when we have the hard questions in life. That's when we have the questions that sometimes don't get answered. And those questions can often lead to doubts, and those doubts can lead to fear, and those that fear can lead to worry. That is not God's plan for us. He does not want us to live fearful lives. He does not want us to live worrisome lives. He wants us to believe the truth. So, a long time ago, several years ago, I was taking a flight, and it was on a terrible wintry day. When I got to the airport, a lot of cancellations and delays were up on the board, and yet our flight was still canceled to take, or planned to take off. Got in my seat, looking out the window. It's snowing. There's a lot of de-icing going on. Snow plows are trying to keep the taxiways clear. There's one runway open. It's a little, you know, one of these kind of twiddle your thumbs type of mornings. Well, the plane pulls away from the gate, and as it moves through the taxiways on the airport. In the airport, you can see the snow blowing past the windows. You just wonder, are we really going to go? And we get to the runway, and we go. And the takeoff's very bumpy. Usually, it's the landing that's a little rough. This time, it was the takeoff that was very rough. and we're bouncing along the runway, and finally the plane clears the end of the runway and's heading up into the dark skies and the snow. And it's very turbulent. There's a lot of bouncing going on. And people are just really quiet. And we're making our way. We hadn't been probably in the air more than just a couple minutes. And the pilot comes on the intercom and he says, "Folks, just want you to know that we're going to be experiencing some turbulence for just a little while. But we should soon be clear of all this turbulence and bad weather." And we're all thinking, yeah, right. we're pretty socked in. But the pilot was right. And just probably less than a minute, we broke through the clouds, over the clouds, on top of the clouds. Guess what was up there? Clear air, no turbulence, sunshine, no snow, just a beautiful, beautiful day. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God coming over the intercom of our life with the truth, saying, "Listen, folks, it may be blizzard conditions right now in your life, but beyond the clouds, there's clear air, blue sky, and sunshine." My prayer for all of us is that when life gets hard and there's some questions that aren't getting answered and there's some truths that don't make sense, like God loves you, that you'll hear the pilot of our life come on the intercom with the truth that, listen, turbulence is going to end someday. This too shall pass, and you'll be in a time someday. Clear air, blue skies, sunshine. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that once again we were privileged to be able to hear you speak to us. And may what we heard by way of your truth make a difference in our lives today. May your truth make a difference in our heart and soul, allowing our spirits to come alive, allowing the fullness of your love to overflow in our hearts. And may what we have heard today also make a difference in how we live, in our relationships that we have with others, in the choices that we make. In our world, sometimes it's hard to see watermelon float. Open our eyes to the miracles of your truth, of your love, of your grace in our lives. And we will be people who will give you praise and thanks. That's our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.